There's an oasis at the end of my earth. Not barred, not exclusive. It does not assault me with a broom. It does not spray me with pesticides. When I get there, I see a mirage of myself serving drinks. "You look parched," he says, and fills my glass halfway. I fall into the hammock that I have been knitting for years, and I watch as the sun begins to set beneath the dunes that I used to trek. And as I sip my wide-brimmed glass, my antennae slowly transform back into the nostrils with which I once smelled the boxwoods and honeysuckle. I abandon two limbs as the remaining four grow meatier by the minute. My exoskeleton inverts, revealing my vulnerable flesh. My compound eyes devolve, for I no longer need to be constantly watching, vigilant, paranoid. I sleep, not in the cocoon, for the first time in decades, knowing the hogs do not monitor my minutes. I no longer dread digging myself deeper and deeper into commitments which I cannot cater to. I let go of the fear of exterminators. My dreams will be whimsical as they once were. My nightmares terrifying, but fantastical. I will think of the things humans think of when they need not be anything else. As I drift off, my fist unclenches. I relinquish control. And now that I am no longer seen as vermin, I can stop playing the part.
Thank you so much, Jesse. Jesse was just telling me there that he's visiting a friend here for 1 week, and he looked up poetry events and he found a veil and he came in. So thank you so much. I'm delighted, and yeah, well done. Fantastic. And next up we'll have Antonio Tomate.
Hello. Rhubarb Joyce. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The hen goes down. The fire in LA won't be enough. Down, down in the promised land. Body of mother, shout of father, blood of child, lost together, yet hungry of life, yet thirsty, half full is the air in the breath. Sandwich of congestion, fried chicken wings, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Without the rain, the land cannot survive. Ice cream with the rhubarb juice, the fire that burns in the chest. A slice of whiskey sober on an early spring sunset. House refurbished, world rewarded, rights vanished, injustice embedded. Cheers. Thank you.
Nice one, Antonio. And next up, we have Colm Scully, please.
Thanks. So when Paul told me a couple of months ago that O'Vale was finishing up, I suppose the first thought that entered my head was, who's going to listen to my poetry now? So well, all's well that ends well, anyhow. So we're continuous O'Vale Gabale, so that's brilliant. This is a poem I wrote last week, which is, it's always a bad idea to read a poem you just wrote a couple of days ago. So anyhow, here it goes. It's an episode from my youth. It's called, I didn't score, but my boots did. When Dad, my flashy boots and I turned up to play under 18, the sun hung happy in the sky, our shirts, the grass and I were green. I hadn't played at Fay 16 or under 10s or under 12s. I once ran with a running club for 3 months, almost beat the girls. The boots were Jim's, my sporty brother, away in college, hand-me-downs. Someone told my dad he needed players at the local ground. The next round of the championship, a mucky rural football match. I donned my boots, I donned my shirt, and took my place at cornerback. You know that feeling when unsure of where you are or what's the deal. It's crystal clear the memory of powerlessness upon the field. My dad was on the sideline waiting. At 20 minutes, I'm replaced. The fragile hopes of sporting glory slowly draining from his face. And we were down by 7 points when Georgie Murphy turned up late. Without his boots, the dugout panicked. Eyes turned to me, my shoes unlaced. He played a blinder, saved the day. The club would make another round. I see his smile, his curly mullet, throwing my boots upon the ground. And I retrieved them. We drove home in Dad's van, silence in the cab. I thought about his sporting ventures, those trophy pictures as a lad. For me, there was a disappointment, a knock, perhaps a lesson gained. But as for him, he never mentioned another word about the game.
Nice one, Colin. Next we'll have Michelle Delay, please.
Thank you. It was my birthday here last month and I turned 32. You don't have to do it again. I plan to get very old. I plan to get extremely old, actually. Because you might as well. But when I look back in my 20s, I'll remember how O'Vale was there every single week of every single year of my adolescence. And I'm so, so thankful for it and for all of you. So I've dug out an old one for tonight. It's 10 years old and it's called Home. Come in. Sit down. You're freezing, but the heating's on, and I would have made your bed, but it's not where you left it when you were younger in the day. You step in, a step, pressing play on the showreel of your day, and I can see it projected from the inside to the whites of your eyes when you say, "How was your day?" Forgive me. I'll digress and bypass this to untie your laces soaked in rain that you failed to step on today. Now, kick them off, sit them on the porch, hang your coat at the foot of the stair and your hat the hook behind you. Next, undress. Peel away the rest and drape them on the line above the dimplex. Take off your jewelless jewellery and your fingernails and your toenails and your teeth and let them fall in the porcelain bowl in the hall. Take off your skin, pale, and pile it in the wicker basket hanging in the landing. Roll your muscle whole into one ball and stretch it the length of the room. Store your flesh in the top drawer of the bedless bedroom. I'll help dismantle your skeleton, and you, mine, limb by limb, will make a fortress in the garden. With windswept skulls sat on the sill, airing our worries, we leave at the will of this evening's breeze. Come in. Sit down. You're beaming, but the ceiling's gone, still beaming when the sun falls, and while your mind's asleep on the mantle, you dance in the space between the stars. It's hard to tell you apart. Come morning, you stepping out from within, wear your ironed and pressed skin like linen, entering the day at her mouth, alone. Farewell, my favourite dwelling. See you when you get home.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks a lot. Next, we have this evening's 5-4 challenge champion, Cathal Holden. Yo!
How are we, guys? So, I would like to read a love poem from a past life. No one has heard it before. I wrote it outside La Sagrada Familia in 2019. It was a moment. This is a sestina. Do you guys know what a sestina is?
Yes, we do.
Some of us do, some of us don't. A sestina goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then it goes 6, 1, 5, 2, 4, 3. And then that pattern repeats in the next one. So it doesn't rhyme. And then it is sent in the end with the last three lines, which contain the whole pattern. It has three titles. It's called Shakti, Tinakri, A Garden by Sestina. I would have loved to run this one through the editing machine one more time, but you know what? It has to go right now. Is the moment. It's like I've worked on this one and then I've put it away and I picked it up to work on it again and gone nah, and I'm just gonna float into the world. Come love, read the palms of both my hands, trace your fingers to tomorrow's garden, walk there with me, lit by our own light. Lovers are the same as our two flames, becoming one, a sacred burning flower. My goddess is a fire, known as love. I was lit by others, and my love grows from ashes worked by tender hands. I tend the earth, planting love like flowers, turning earth and moon to grow my garden, to make it bloom with life's own living flame, a blazing sea of lanterns lit with light. It is so that we are made of light. Life requiting life, our need is love. So let this wander, ancient darkness planting flames, and on your arching back I'll plant my hands. Let us make love in our love-lit garden. I give up my heart to you, like a flower. If you will, love, drop me, like a flower. My heart has been too heavy and too light. Plant it for me, somewhere in our garden, perhaps, we'll grow again to love. Or take it, beating in your hands. Give of yourself to me like a flame. Look, love, my garden is a flame. Fire runs from flower to burning flower. A coursing river sprung of both my hands. Night is as a page on which the stars are writ in light. I offer you no chains. That is not love. Let words lose all their meanings in our garden. Love is stars on fire and night's own garden, the great divine, blazing fierce as flame. I know the only burning truth is love, true and red and wild as any flower. You and I, barefoot on the earth and bearing light, a newborn day held softly in our hands. I raised for you a garden full of flowers, 1,000 blazing flames, a bed of shining light. Walk with me, love. Take my burning hands.
Unreal, nice one. Did particularly well as you fended off somebody trying to take your punchline there. Jeremy. Get the fuck. Next one. Could we have Benjamin Burns next, please?
I continue my haiku odyssey. I'm doing the 100-day haiku challenge, except I'm about 60 days in and 40 haiku, so sort of slightly failing, but I'm just going to keep going until I have 100 haiku. It doesn't really matter. Like. So I'll kind of read a selection of haiku since the last time I was here. A glass of water. Raindrops hit the window pane. There's lots in the tap. It's true, man. There's loads of this. Shivering within her big black coat, her head bent towards my shoulder. Zen cats inside us,
meow,
in the dark, blinking at open daffodils. Laid back, up in his cat tree, green eyes fixed on a spider upside down. A pigeon arrests her flight, lands deftly between anti-pigeon spikes. Now fat, now thin, worms set out across slick pavements in the driving rain. Tea steeps in the pot. A hubbub of voices. I let my thoughts settle. The puddle gently vibrates. A seagull in flight. The fast-moving clouds. In half dreams, magpies chatter. Silver keys rattle, the blackthorn flowers. This next one is not a haiku. It started as a haiku and then it's just turned into something else. Okay. It didn't fit in the syllables. A bullfinch tears at a sweet blackthorn blossom beside the hissing road. A single petal falls. Five p.m. sunlight slants down the street. Long-legged shadows slip ahead. The volume of pink noise fluctuates. Cold coffee, an open window.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Next, we are going to move online and we're going to have Pam Campbell, who was very nice to have in Cork City here very recently. Glad to see that you made this home safe.
This poem that I'm going to read was published by Poets for Science. And if y'all don't know about this, I'll send it to Paul in a chat, but it's a participatory project, an installation that explores the relationship between science and poetry. So y'all send things to him. But anyway, this is called Safe Keep. And Emily will probably know what I'm talking about because this was the little fawn, Emily, that I never could find words for. Anyway, Safe Keep. Safe Keep. Red, brown, silky, soft, new life flattens, hugs earthy loam, white spots dull in dusk light. Bobcat overstepping walk nears. Earth fawn shallow breathes. Bobcat claws catch branch bark, sniffs. Fawn heartbeat drops, breathing slows. Bobcat pads limb length, drops and disappears in spartina grass. Moist nose cooled by prevailing wind, notes danger departing. Ears erect, gather quietness, swivel like radar dishes, catches great horned owl stuttering, hoo, 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 one high in pitch, the other low. Liquid brown fawn eyes, big bright tapestry, passes light twice. Lashes droop downward with slight curve upward, nose up, calls, mew, mew, mew. Fierce hoof thunder breaks darkness, vibrates ground under white belly. Muscular red-brown full-bodied doe stamps and snorts, shh. Draws in fawn scent and soft bleats, bay, bay, bay. Fawn wobbly leg rises, finds teat, pulls and mews. High-pitched notes like an old screen door opening and whispering shut on a summer eve. Bobcat waits. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Pam. Nice one. Next, we're going to have Simon Horgan, please.
So, this is called, there's a, it's the first time I've ever done this, so a bit nervous. It's called, it originally was, I think, a song, kind of, I can't sing that well, so better as a poem. There's a tower in the distance, its light draws me to it. There's a tower in the distance, its light draws me to it, and to its highest window I must go. From this tower in the distance comes the sound of subtle music and the flow of children's laughter. I am beaten by its power. So to its highest window, through the parted curtain, I must go to meet the makers of the music and the laughter. There's a tower in the distance, its light draws me to it. Its walls cast a shadow on all things that surround it. On amaranth and aster, on baby's breath and barrel, on friend and on neighbour, on the fruit of all their labour. So to its highest window, through the parted curtain, I must go to meet the makers of the music and the laughter. There's a tower in the distance. It dominates my landscape. It's all that I am seeing. It's all that I am thinking. It colours all my feeling. I must go to meet the makers of the music and the laughter. It's a strange thing in the distance. It's a strange thing that's receding. The further I am going, the light seems so much paler and the laughter so much fainter. I wonder if the fault lies with the object or the seer.
Thanks very much for sharing that with us, Simon. Nice one. On the ball. Mila Blakes. We're going to have Catherine Nolan next.
I'm going to read a poem that was published in the Stony Thursday, and I believe it's very hard to get into that, so I'm delighted.
Hey!
I'm going to read it Oscuilge first, but I'm going to try anyway, and then I'll give it to you in English. Oh shit, Julie's here. a real Gwael gore. Lower noti kailte. Hashbon to the scardom on saura shin. Haring me ima lower noti e. Agus cuirse untas ar mo héal ar fad. Cad a hóg skin, ach ligigi dit furu ishtak ska. Pogum an scar shin emakona urnta. Rinig e le cleta corvid. Brisha drim ma oid. Saduch e. Lost notebook. You showed me your scar that summer. I drew it in my notebook and wondered all my life what had taken a knife would let you bleed into shadow. I kiss that scar in my sleep sometimes, trace it with a corvid's feather, break the spine of my longing in the ink of it.
Thanks a lot, Catherine. Beautiful. And, congratulations on that publication. That's great. We'll have Mona Lynch next, please.
Another first. I've never read from my phone before. Jimmy. I see him silhouetted against the sky, his cottage above the road, his garden higher again, girdled with currant bushes, black and red, gooseberries too. Sunshine blazed as with rhythmic strokes he swings the spade, clearing drills, rising to the spuds. Regimental rows of cabbage, speckled with ravenous caterpillars. Fern-like foliage of carrots, hiding juicy tubers. We sit on upturned drums, catching up with our worlds, breathing in the fresh scent of the earth. He scrapes his plug tobacco, fills his pipe and puffs, his soul at one with his garden. A slow world of dignity and respect. He lived to his 90th birthday, and I sat by his bed on his last day and told him of the huge beetroot I was given that day by a neighbour. With his eyes closed, he whispered, "No beetroot should be bigger than an eating apple."
Nice one, Mona. Could be a Sue Blue next, please.
Thanks very much. So, my poem today was Blue Monday's prompt. So during the lockdowns, we were actually on every Monday except for, around Ovale always, but so we were very regular, and we had a prompt way, way back in 22 that I used here. But in the meantime, I'm kind of trying to get myself to be better at smithing the metaphor. So in this poem, I'm trying to symbolize or to personify the prompt. And the basis is a quote by Franz Grillparzer, German philosopher. And he said, and was he's gone into language so much I didn't even know it was his statement, but we all know this statement. So the prompt was jealousy, and his saying goes, "Eifersucht ist eine Leidenschaft, die mit Eifersucht was Leiden schafft." Eifersucht ist eine Leidenschaft, die mit Eifersucht was Leidenschaft translates to jealousy is a passion that seeks zealously what creates suffering. Green dragon. Eyes query intentions, peer control. Ice slices the soul, passion seeks woe. Spews acid bile, zeal's torture blind. Turns sword against soulmate. Stabs the heart and kills its quest. Hide to flesh, stings too deep. Thorny rose scratches the face, no mercy who gives, who takes. Haunted mind is always heavy, bears only anguish and pain. You flee dismayed, I stay behind in vicious spiral. Wrestle this seventh deadly skin, quell the toxic beast. Pursuing love with hate, an oxymoron that can never find. Trust alone dissolves its bitter power. This fear of losing, so tender, its true source, the wish to belong. How light is love in freedom when this green dragon transcends.
Thanks, Lassie. We'll have Julie Koo next, please.
Garagas. Thomas Conrad Navganachi and of Agus Kupla Dawn are all nor Scriv. Nimishun Filler. It's Paul Casey's book. I know, right? It's very unusual. It's unusual for a poet to read anything but their own poetry, so tonight I said I'll do that. I won't be here in April, and I thought I'd miss it because I'll actually be the other side of the world, but sure, I'll be able to tune in. So yeah, I'll be up there in April, hopefully on the screen. I'm going to do two short poems. I, Salmon. Salmon enters me to dance through the day, to surf the silver of glee. I know I've reached immunity from nets and flies, seasons evading traps, our currents long mapped in a charter of all freedoms. Remember the words of Freud, the Irish are impervious to psychoanalysis, sure we laugh it off. Hey, let's be the kids we are. Let's be fools for a bit. Why not? Live for the laugh. And as Michelle said there, you know, it was through your 20s, it was through my 30s, Ovail was, it was my medicine. And yeah, just eternally grateful. Ovail in binary. In this new world where words can whirl and zoom and turn from pen to ear, a sprouting of poets. A sprouting of poets. Grimmie Magwood, Grimmie Magwood.
Thanks, that's really okay. Beautiful reading and very nice to hear your words. We have Moses Jacobs next, please.
Hi, it's nice to be here, and I'm going to do what's a bit of a party piece, or maybe a part piece. It's a poem I wrote a long time ago. I totally forgot I'd written it until my late former husband pulled it up, and then the green dragon got me. I was jealous. What was he doing? And then apparently I'd written it, and I forgot, which is the case in point. This one is called Sleeping. I do not suffer from varied diseases with exotic names, but I can distinguish various personalities. inside my head, where I address myself as I. Get up, I tell myself. But I continue to slouch. Set to work, I shout furiously. But my eyes stay glued to the fatuous book, and I read on. At night, I argue in front of the flat screen. I want to go out, but part of me is asleep and the rest is eagerly watching anything that moves, however nonsensical. In the shower, turn off the taps. In the shower, turn off the taps! She doesn't do what I want her to, but then someone, anyone, turns off those taps. Likewise, I can imagine that inside me are slumbering a murderer, an adulteress, a bargain seller, a betrayer of people, a prostitute or head nurse. Folks whom I do not know, but who can wake up at any moment as circumstances change. Thank you. I just want to say a little bit more. I'm sort of co-organizing for the last couple of years a place in Clonakilty called The Bar of Spoken Word, and that was actually we're a bit of the offspring of Ovale, because it was started 13 years ago by Nick Smith, inspired by Ovale, and we now, you know, we're sort of independent by now. Tomorrow night we have a we're very grateful as well, and we always love, I mean we used to love, and I hope that's going to continue, the Coventry poets coming over to, and the Cork poets. Okay, because that's always a nice sort of interaction with people from Cork. And so it so happens that tomorrow night it's part of Irish Week. Now my pronunciation of the Irish language is atrocious, because the only Irish I have is through Duolingo, and that's in weird AI American voices. But this, we're going to do a Judy, Judy, please correct me. A skriacht, is that sort of, oh, a skriacht? Screened, yeah. Okay, it's a social gathering. It's not my idea. She can hear it. It's my co-team member, Emma Tierney, came up with it. And it's like a social gathering by the fireside with, you know, Trat and people speaking Irish, or it's maybe people speaking Dutch or other languages, and, you know, sharing the moment and the music. Thank you. So you're all very welcome. Clonakilty, De Barras, 8:30. Thank you.
Yes, we must stand. Thank you very much for that invitation. Next up, we'll have Rab Arkad.
Thinking about Ovale, and when I came here, I was becoming an angry middle-aged man. And now I'm becoming an angry old man. Here we are. I want to give a shout out to Mags, whose kind of spectre hangs over us. And I thought to myself, I'll do one of the first poems that I did when I came to Ovale, when it was back in the Cat Club. Back in the way in the distant past, before most of you were born, you know. So, houses built from cardboard, with garages stuck on. You're a bunch of silly fuckers, and you're all being conned. But never mind that. Come and get a mortgage. Dance the Barrett way, not built for tomorrow, just thrown up today. Nigel bought a wimpy house. He thought he was a toff. the day the guarantee ran out, the fucking doors fell off. But never mind that. Come and get a mortgage, dancer, by the way. Not built for tomorrow, just shown up today. Johnny had a party, invited all his kith and kin. And when they started dancing, the fucking floor fell in. But never mind that. Come and get a mortgage, dancer, by the way. Not built for tomorrow, just shown up today. 10-year building guarantee on a 30-year mortgage. I don't fucking think so. But never mind that. Come and get a mortgage, dancer, by the way. Not before tomorrow, just thrown up today. Hey.
Nice and round. We have Patricia Walsh next, please.
Thank you, Ciarán. It's called Electrocuted Beauty. You run, gathered from behind, and lower your status. Simplistic trash resurges in kind. Confidence eases in a warning. A shot of informacy. The benevolent stalker rides on. You know, single moves for entertainment. I collate rubbish to keep in vengeful view. My studies massacred in the beautiful skin. Being overdone for glory, still held from across. You swim for safety and attenuate loss. The local joke hit backwards again. The lost fights and liberty emirates a silver failure. The toppling manuscript bulges at scandal. My heart and heart circles around a corpse. The end result of repeated transgressions. Being left alone, unfriended, for a meditative peace. My addictive punishment is mute on the sly. This good behaviour coveted, but never required. We live our lives clean, as predicted. My eventual sense settles down on spec. To resent any surveillance, however apt. My falls being more public. To floor genius. Being found in transmission, failing the worst. You're kicking in satisfaction for a job well done. By shining in a family light, laughter aside, going to step in propriety is an invention of disguise. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Trish. Could we have Cedric Picard next, please?
This one has been brooding for a while. You know, they're a bit like a cloud, fairly dark one. Though the mood is my personal mood is a lot better. But you know, like you need to have all the palette of colors to make a colorful word. So sometimes some of the tones are going to be darker than some others. And this one is about death. It's a conversation that I never had with my mother, because that just did not happen. But it's inspired of things that did happen. So it's called Refuse. I stare myself down in the mirror, putting on a suit. They will probably make it look good when my time comes. You should wear those. This kind more often show the world how handsome you are. Those compliments, I wouldn't be there to receive them anyway. Just like the outfit. They feel awkward on my shoulders and weigh me down. The shoulder pads pretend for a strength I never had. You cannot go wrong with a white shirt. It's a classic. It doesn't stand out. It blends you in a crowd of strangers clad in similar fashion. A live skeletal army gathered for the one that stopped moving. I'm not dead yet, I think. She catches me rolling my eyes and loops the silk around my neck as I finish that thought. Quells my inner rebellion. What colors the minimalism of the suit cannot conceal will be contained in a chokehold, the way a trash bag keeps its content before it's disposed of, hiding its true merit. This one is to be taken in a box and buried 6 feet under after it has been exploited, squeezed out of his life, slaving away. I dare not ask Mom if, like him, do I look good? Why does this tie, accepted symbol of elegance, feel so much like a leash and a noose? Those words, I swallow them and bite my tongue. She's just lost her husband and is still proudly holding on. I should not kill the mood. It's part of life, dear, she says without facing me. I just hope he's finally allowed to let loose, I reply. I can hear us choking our tears. So I slacken the tie. We are not dead yet.
Thanks a lot, we'll have Bernadette Gallagher next, please.
Thanks, Ciarán. So Michelle started in her 20s here, and Julie in her 30s, and me in my 50s. And so I cut my poetry reading teeth here, and I'd like to thank Paul and all of Ovale, and I hold you all very dearly in my heart still, even though I don't really do late nights anymore. So Sheelan Gowil shocked in the Gaelga on Shroch, because whatever you think of the Irish was difficult to understand, this is going to be Donegal Irish, so my apologies in advance. Rathmuilan. Eg arc trian glenna, eran liniocht pion saol, tamia machalu, eran thrall, struck a blean, gan ein focal arall. Rathmullan. Beautiful beach if you ever go to Donegal. Rathmullan. Through the glass, I look at the drawing beneath. I'm asleep on the beach. 30 years without saying a word. Good Margaret.
I'm very hard. And next we're going to jump online for Clive Osman.
Hello, thanks. Okay, so anybody who's ever heard me perform, or anybody that knows me for that matter, knows that I can be a bit strange. So this poem is what happens when somebody is a bit cuckoo, is off his tits on opiates, feeling sorry for himself because there's an event he wanted to go to and he can't. And so he just writes the first thing that comes into his head just to make him feel better. And it's called A Tube. I'm so bloody tired. I can't even write sensible poetry anymore, but there's an event starting soon. I've been going to it for 4 years and only ever made sense once for a minute or two. I'm drugged up and drowsy, but I've got to write something. Or they'll think, whatever. Come on, Clive. Think obscure. Think no one will understand this, so they will assume it's deep and clever and coming from a place of great wisdom. Semolina Pilchard climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Damn, I gave that one to John Lennon. Fuck it. My neighbour sneezes like he's just had his gonads put through a bacon slicer. The noise is terrifying. When I first moved in, I called the police because I thought someone was being murdered. The copper laughed and said if I had a pound for every time they'd been called out because Herbert was sneezing, we would have a properly funded police force and they would be able to investigate proper crimes like robberies. I hate it when people talk nonsense. He gets done for a breach of the peace every time he gets a cold. Rumour has it, he got the flu once and his dog exploded. Not sure how that would work, but I do sometimes see him dragging a box of fireworks on a lead as if he's hoping for a replay. I know when I look after my brother's dog, I play really loud music so that it won't hear the sneezing. It's not really necessary because he's already been diffused by a vet, but the dog always sings along and got really moody when I stopped. Refused to speak to me all night. He gets the words wrong sometimes, but I haven't got the heart to tell him. He can't read, so he's not likely to find the real lyrics online, is he? My other neighbour thinks he's Donald Trump, so I had him shot by Herbert. Unfortunately, he sneezed as he pulled the trigger, and not only did he only shoot half his ear off, but lots of cats were blown into orbit. The ear grew back within a week, mysteriously, but the cats are now approaching Mars. I wish I'd listened to those who warned me that this is a dodgy neighbourhood, but eggs were cheap at the corner shop, and that drew me in. I like a nice cheap egg. But alas, all the roosters caught the flu off Herbert, and I can't get cheap eggs anymore. Fuck it. Thank you. That's me done, and I should be.
Unreal. Thank you. Good chocolate there now. Great. We have Sophie Clare. Is it Sophie Clare? Nice. We have
Sophie Clare. Wow. This is my first time here. Woo! First time as well, reading a poem. So bear with me. Lies. Grave yo-yo, wasteland now, for spoiled flesh, hurricane, don't backtrack, sweep the hidden away, hold the heaven's wrath, smother, strangle their tales that peacefully lie, stiff and dull, big and lame, that no clay in their eyes, unshot from their dreams, laden with rotten apple and sour sap inside a false fortress can crack. That no tar in my ears can block, that no wooden skin can barricade from their scythe finding my hot face. Blow the dust off, blow hard, blow the cops away, be without respite, hurricane, turn your gaze, face their tongues afar, be like that comet that came crashing on life, be my hunchman, fronting my garden, graveyard your wasteland now, for the sweet I gave, canter wraps are dump on my dry heart, now housed for hysterical flies, made with dirt of shame, host no more, theirs I am. A truth without an end is festering in my fright, beautiful and light. I see no solace soothing their dread. Open your eye, hurricane. See the lies, hurricane. We'll pull their carcass out there, back to their mouth, swollen and dry and counterfeit. Back to their morass, carpeted with poems of might, of greatness, but seek, take a breath, target.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Sophie. Thank you very much. And yeah, just for anybody who's, if it is your first time here this evening, the event will continue beyond April. Ovale Gabriel are going to, the board of Ovale essentially are going to maintain the event beyond April. So there will still be events here on the second Monday of every month. And we would love to see you back here and hear more poetry from you. It was very, very nice to hear your work there. Next, we're going to have Seamus Harrington, please.
Thanks, Ciarán. And thanks, Mosey, for a wonderful night we had in the Barras a couple of weeks ago. And the saxophone, and for band. And what Rab said back in Johnson's in the lobby, saying, I just want to thank Paul and Rosie for 18 wonderful years and all the teams. In the meantime, how many events could you name who run for 50 weeks of the year, so many year in, year out? Excellent work. Fabulous. And I've only just realised it was the same year, walking along the quay in Gothenburg without knowing anything whatsoever about a tall ship. As around the bend, there was a magnificent hotel. Her name is the Viking. So this is the Viking. She'll have no truck with mock tall ships, bulimic tanks of liquid gold. I don't propose to bend a knee and never would unstep a mast to suit that bridge that hems us in to harbour years of gangway life. We'll stay secured and keep each guest their posh hotel, my tumble home. My figurehead will often cast a jaundiced eye on Lego ships with cargoes boxed in vivid stacks, bad-mannered ribs and soap-dish boats that skim across our basin berth, and towering hulks decked out in glass where bubbling pools of idle rich or landsmen soak their golden hinds. Her secret wish has always been return again to naval days. The thrill and ring of ordered steps, a manifest of fresh cadets to line the yards, parade of sail. Those forecastle airs of every ilk, our master's voice across the poop, and gimbaled hours away offshore. The soundless mitt, a boatswain's pet, his musing gaze as flying fish play and break about my lee cat head, in distant rolls the windless song, transcendent moon her ebb and flow, we'd love to seek a further voyage, secluded shores I've yet to trace, like sights within the piper's sound. And yes, I miss this canvas press, feel foot ropes dance where topmen tread, at harbour's mouth a lash of salt to rinse my plunging plimsoll line, a creaking sheave, the quiet routine, ice broken clear and furrowed drills, the scything wind at each crow's nest, a field of wheat discharged at last. Thank you. And thank you, Paul.
Thanks a lot, Seamus. And we'll have Philip Spillane next, please.
Thank you. Short disclaimer, I was given this downstairs. It's a small pocketbook. It looks like reminders and not poetry. I think it was left here for a good while because it's only going back to 2024, like the end of 2024. If this is yours, let me know. It's not poetry. It's reminders. I'm not going to read out reminders. His handwriting is pretty personal as well. Like only he could read it, or they could read it, or she can read it, or whoever can read it. Anyway,
like a prescription.
Like a. That could be a clue in the right direction. All right. Maybe you can take a look at it and you'll probably get a better idea than I am. Anyway, I'm going to do a short poem and then going to go into something else. I fix computers and I pick mushrooms. Most of the time, at the same time. Thank you. It's just what I listen to a lot. It's not, I only took a magic mushrooms twice, and the second time, I don't think it quite worked. Anyway. This is to Emer Hayes, who introduced me to Avail, who is an awesome writer, and I hope she goes back to it. I gave her a little quick message and a quick update, let you know what's going on, and she's still out there, and she's still keeping it cool. So yeah, this is to Emer Hayes. Upon my head grows memory hair, and where I step grows fungi. So I walk in a circle, letting it bud out, crisp, white, and spongy. And slowly, while they age and grow, they become stone, a stone circle, more profound and amplified like mystic and fire, because they somehow echo the moon sunline. In my own train track, I backtrack to the spot, retracing the old mushroom road I laid long before. While I was younger, with a rainbow cloak, and my antlers branched out, smothered with leaves of amber. Because of age to become bold, I've lost my memory hair, becoming weary in my troubles, I ghosting younger orange remains, becoming useless and lost. And what's fearful is, I feel myself fully more. I feel like the reaper, walking on Gaia's turf bosom. Until I reincarnate. Thanks.
Nice one. Thank you. And for our penultimate reader tonight, we're going to have Alexandra Tott. Well, you were still giving her jobs. She's still giving her jobs. Like, she has to go out to the phone.
Alex, that's you.
Oh, she heard. Always on the beat and never off it. I love it. Fair play. I know, it's fair play. You've got to attend to business, like. Fair play, on the ball.
Keeping the Long Valley going.
Come on, girl. Keeping the Long Valley going all these years. Like.
Every penny counts. So I haven't read a Hungarian poem in a very long time, so that's what I came with today. And so I've always known that I would end up writing a poem for my grandma because of like how important she is to me and like the emotional connection I have with her. And I moved away when I was 2 from Hungary, so she is the only family member that consistently kept in contact with me. And like whenever I was in a very off mood emotionally, I would kind of like call her and then her voice would like instantly calm down. So this is about a poem about how much I miss her, and it kind of dives into like childhood memories from like the house, the garden, and like the terrace and things like that. So I have the translated version as well, which I will read after. So this poem is called Ginchem Nakem, which basically translates to treasure to me. And ever since I was a baby, that's what she called me, so treasure to me. Ginchem Nakem, messe vagy, túl messe, hiányzol. Hiányzol, mint a szőlő lugas a teraszon, fénysugarakkal világított édes gyümölcse. Hiányzó, mint a metsző olló, mit nékem adsz. Ahogy nézed kis kezeimet, hogy szebbé varázsolja elugas amazon leveleit. Hiányzó, mint a pöttöm uborka a kertben. Ahogy öntözzük sárga szilmait kannával teli vízzel. Hiányzó, mint a frissen sütött fánk, üvegpohárral szaggatott tészta, barackleklárral édesítve. Hiányzom, mint a napraforgó virág a felső kertben, minek minden szirma tükrözi a napnak a sugarait. Hiányzom, mint az ümmögő hűtő a folyosón, ahogy elringatja gondolataimat, mint az imádság, mit éjfélkor mondasz. Csak hiányzol. Hiányzik a hangod, a nevetésed, a nyugtató lelked. Hiányzik még a horkolásod is. Bárcsak ott lehetnék veled, hisz nekem lelki nyugalom kell. Néha fájdalmas az élet. Jól vagyok, de nem mindig. Felhívlak, mert hiányzol, hangod dallama, ahogy lenyugtat engemet, a drága mamám. Örökké lelkemben leszel, egy lakat a szívemben, egy kincs az életemben. Hiányzol, ahogyan átölelsz és suttogva mondod, kincsem nekem. And then this would be the translation. Treasure to me, you are far, too far. I miss you. I miss you like the grape arbor on the terrace, its sweet fruits illuminated by the glowing light. I miss you like the pruning shears you offer to me, as you watch my tiny hands make the Amazon green leaves more ravishing. I miss you like the miniature cucumbers, how we feed its yellow blooming flowers with a can of water, letting it flourish in the summer brown soil. I miss you like the freshly baked donuts, carved with the blue tinted glasses, filled with sweet peach jam. I miss you like the sunflowers in the front garden, how each petals mirror the rays of the sun. I miss you like the humming fridge in the corridor, how it rocks my swirling thoughts to a slumber, like the midnight prayers you sing to me. I miss you. I miss your voice. I miss your laughter. Your peaceful soul. I even miss your snoring. I wish I could be there with you, for my soul to find peace again. Life is painful at times. I am okay, but not always. I call you because I miss you, to hear the lullaby in your voice, how it calms me down instantly. My darling mama, which is like grandma in Hungarian, like in villages basically. You will forever be a part of my soul, a lock in my heart, a treasure in my life. I miss you, as you embrace my body, whispering in my ear, treasure to me. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Alex. Beautiful. It's really beautiful. So it's a bit of a no win, no fee situation for you now, Paul, right? Because this is a new poem, but if you don't like it, you can just tear strips off it next week when we meet, you know, because you're my mentor.
I might start tearing strips off right now.
Well, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see.
Keep coming.
Poem for Paul.
Oh. Tear it all off.
A little bit Trumpian.
I am walking back to O'Carell to continue what we started, to see if the water is still as fresh as we left it, the cast iron pan still as large and as round, to walk the forest where we saw that transcendent dance, hear the wind through the leaves and the pine, walk onto the stage in the courtyard of the farmhouse where we performed, hear the wolves howl. Such inspiration to Eugenio Novenella, whose life and work you taught me about the last time we were here. To hold a chestnut in the palm of my hand, assess the damage of the wildfires, look out over the mountains to the horizon. Broader now, thanks to you, Not the first river we swam in either, basking in spring sun in Vaumontant, swimming and laughing with that crew of Welsh singers. Brought here as part of Paul Casey's squadron of Cork poets, reading homegrown work in a classic French theatre. Chapters were turning in my life as we sat in the Japanese garden, blossoms teaching lessons on the passing of time. Or sent on espionage with Stan Knott, behind enemy lines on a brokering mission to Coventry, sharing work at the Peace Festival, and just as well, contemporary Irish poetry shared across English airwaves. Peacekeeping in a city leveled by the Blitz, where the Good Friday Agreement hangs on the wall of the Lord Mayor's office, preconceptions and stale prejudice melting in the Two-Tone Museum, madness in the mind's eye. When I parted with the last copy of the chapbook you published, the first time I'd seen my work grouped in ink, you reprinted it for free. It meant nothing and everything, those words now available in the city of my birth, PG, BC, CA. How else to thank you but to keep saying thank you? For the expansion of my mind and soul, connecting me to a global poetry community, weekly passionate philosophy, monthly musings. It's one thing to answer a call, but another to create a call to answer. I've never seen it done so completely, with such grace. The detail, the structure, the spirit, ideals as clear as Galician spring water. Remember, we had that epic fight in the Glen Park. You thought I was being an arrogant prick, and I thought you were being an arrogant fuck. And we let each other know in so many words, two ferocious tempers facing each other like two mirrors fit to crack across the path on an otherwise peaceful Tuesday afternoon. Local dog walkers apologizing for interrupting us. You insisted we find the cause to the effect, and so we did, and like good readers, turned the page, hugged it out, and came back to ourselves. Sláinte Macara, brother, father figure, friend, mentor, teacher, sailor, soldier. And Paolo, you always get this story wrong, so I said I'd better put in a definitive version to it before it gets bent out of shape, au veil gavail. A man walks into a bar, well, not legally, just a boy really, asks the girl there for a pint, she puts it on without a second thought. She's still in earshot when one of these college-educated poetry types strikes up a conversation, introduces himself. So what do you do, he asks. O'Vale's first test for the imagination. I said it wouldn't do to say that I'm in school might jeopardize my settling pint. Draw unwanted attention to the IDs that I don't carry. So, with slight hesitation, I cast my mind a year to the future. In UCC, doing music in English rolled off the tongue like it was really happening. More a promise than a lie. Had to color in a few more details, but I got my pint, sat down the back, and so it began. Met the faces, listened, on the open mic, said a poem called The Strive, 17 years old and 14 ago. What a time to be alive. Sláinte, gonna uckle os dovel tareis ovel. Big chance and I am gonna veg lewit the rishan shaw. Toma chria stockert, mila breakis, Sláinte Macara. sin bhfuil mar chóir a sláán inis agus gur míle maith agaibh go léir. Bhfuil a very pleasant evening and yeah, it was yeah, so nice to share it with you all. And yeah, as the announcement said a while ago, we'll be back next month for the ultimate edition, man. The ultimate edition. But yeah, there's a huge thank you again to our two guests for the fantastic readings, to Emily Davis Fletcher and James Harper.